This is Virginia Voice Program Director Teresa Ray, welcoming you to Voices from the Mighty Pen. Virginia Voice is proud to bring you this program in partnership with the Virginia War Memorial Foundation's Mighty Pen Project. The Mighty Pen Project is a free writing course for veterans, helping create, preserve, share, and honor their stories for us all. In this series, you'll hear stories written by Richmond area veterans through the Mighty Pen Project, then read by the authors in our Virginia Voice studios. This program recounts the experiences of veterans who served in active duty and may describe scenes of combat. Listener discretion is advised, particularly for those who live with PTSD. These stories may contain graphic language, graphic accounts of violence, and other potentially triggering content. Now, Virginia War Memorial Foundation and Virginia Voice present Voices from the Mighty Pen.
Rosie, let's talk a little bit. You retired as a master sergeant in the Army. What was your job?
I worked in civil affairs as an operations non-commissioned officer for the last 5 years of my career in the Army.
What is civil affairs?
Civil affairs, the unit in civil affairs is composed mainly of 75% are officers who are economists, bankers, lawyers, nurses, doctors, you name it. Our job is to go to other countries and help rebuild nations.
What other countries did you go to? Where were you deployed?
My first deployment was to Grenada, then was Honduras twice as an interpreter. And then I went to Haiti for a short deployment to Haiti. Then after that, 6 months to Kosovo. And the last one was Afghanistan for 1 year.
All those are interesting places.
Oh, yes.
I detect that some of them would be a nice vacation, others very much not so.
Absolutely. You are right about that.
You're about to read your story, Healing Water. Tell us a little bit about the story you're about to read.
That story I wrote because I had been working nonstop for almost 3 months prior to deploying, getting ready. It's very, very stressful. And then I get there, I get to Afghanistan, and then I have to learn my new job, take over as an operations NCO. So that added, 3 months going nonstop, I started experiencing symptoms of a heart attack and was medevac. So I ended up in Rota. I was told I would go to Landstuhl, but I ended up in Rota. And I was amazed because in Rota, my symptoms of heart attack or whatever was happening to my body, they stopped. The symptoms completely stopped. I had a stress test, EKG, you name it. But I think it was just my body telling me that I needed to stop and take a break and take better care of myself. So,
are you a natural writer?
No, not at all. So, I don't think I am.
So how did the Mighty Pen Project help you?
Oh, my God. It has been a blessing because I had been wanting to write a memoir, but I just haven't done it. And when I saw the opportunity for this class, I took it. I applied, and I was praying that I would be accepted, even though I drive from Alexandria, Virginia, to Richmond every Wednesday to come to the class because it is so awesome. I feel that I'm learning all the tools I need to share my story through the Mighty Pen Project.
Here is Rosie Richardson reading her story, Healing Water.
I returned to San Antonio after a six-month deployment to Kosovo in 2002, just in time to prepare for the next one to Afghanistan in 2003. Throughout the year, prior to deploying again, my job keeps me busy. As a master sergeant, one of the few full-time senior NCOs, I assist the leadership in many areas of pre-mobilization, like screening and selecting soldiers for each of the civil affairs teams. We spend several nights after work scrubbing the battle roster. After working extra duty hours, I go home to take care of my own stuff. My daughter helps me pack my duffel bags. First aid kit, check. Flashlight, check. Tactical gloves, check. Helmet, check. And the list is never ending. I am exhausted and we have not deployed yet. Out-of-town soldiers are reported early, plan to go down to the Riverwalk to have a few drinks. They know that once we depart, General Order Number 1 is in effect. Hey, Sergeant Lewis, if you guys drink too much, call me. I don't want you guys to get in trouble. Yes, Master Sergeant, we'll probably end up calling you because we're going to paint the town. Hua, the rest of the group yell in unison. I get a call before midnight. Hey, Master Sergeant, can you please come pick us up? We are at Dirty Nelly's Irish Pub. No problem, I will be there in 30 minutes. I drag myself out of bed. I do not bother to brush my hair. Still groggy behind the wheel, I regret having offered to pick them up, but I consider their ages. They're young, full of energy, and bonding before facing the challenges to come. I'm glad to own a minivan with plenty of room to transport them. When we arrive at Fort Sam Houston, we have to wake up a few of them. Seeing family and friends come say goodbye is bittersweet. It's a good feeling to know they care about me, but at the same time, it bothers me to see them cry. Why do they cry? I'm happy to go to my next adventure. They should know that by now. Call me a masochist, but I thrive when I'm challenged. I survived 6 months in Kosovo working for a fucking jerk male chauvinist pig. For sure that was a unique deployment. That's what I chose to believe. Soon, I would find out that every deployment is special with its own set of issues. After formation, we walk out of the assembly hall and are allowed to spend a few more minutes with our loved ones before getting in the bus. Mom, I'll be fine. Time will fly and I'll be back soon. Rosie, take care of yourself, mija. I'll be praying for you. I don't want anything to happen to you. My mother cries every time I leave, regardless of length of deployment, and she always prays for me. I believe that is one of the reasons why I'm still alive. I tell my friends, my mother is closer to God than I am, and I know He hears her prayers. On a beautiful sunny morning, we depart to the airport. Most of us look forward to this deployment, excited about traveling to a new place, new culture, new faces, but same mission. To support the battlefield commanders, establish relationships with the local mayors, mullahs, or whoever has the power to make things happen. For it is collaboration with people with the most influence in a village, town, city, or country that can result in their support of military operations. In CA units, you find people with different language skills, as well as those who are experts in the local culture with a purpose of rebuilding infrastructure and restoring stability. I am far from feeling stable at Fort Bragg. We have daily training, no time off, except a few hours before going to bed, which we have to choose from sleep or escape to the bar. I usually choose sleep, but the problem is that I have many old friends at Fort Bragg. I choose to go out for a drink after training. I know my way around and have a borrowed vehicle. What's going to stop me? We spend 4 weeks in Fort Bragg to receive more training. We sleep in World War II barracks, open bay area in double bunks. The shower windows are shut. There is no ventilation to prevent mold buildup, so we use strong chemicals to clean it. Unaware that inhaling the chemical fumes affect my lungs, I end up with bronchitis a few days prior to deploying to Southwest Asia. We depart from Pope Air Force Base to our new home, Afghanistan. I don't remember how long it takes to get there or how I managed to stay alive. What I remember is that due to noise and light discipline, all lights are off in Bagram. It's pitch black. We march out of the aircraft ramp. I look up and see the most beautiful sky I have ever seen. I feel as if I can reach up and touch the stars. We end up in a tent where a sergeant assigns us temporary tents. Some of us go to Kabul, others go to a village, and some stay in Bagram. The following day, I'm in a jungle bus going to Kabul. There is nothing but desert and mountains everywhere I look. I see young children tending to their goats and sheep in the desert. I see camels. Shit, I'm choking. I cannot stop coughing. There is nothing but sand, and I'm breathing every single grain. God, why did I volunteer to come here? What the fuck was I thinking? I want to go home. I'm sick, coughing nonstop throughout the bus ride. Not even the fucking medication helps control the cough. We arrive 1 hour later. Welcome to Alligator Alley. We are assigned rooms for two people, individual twin-size beds, but at least they are in a concrete building. Thank God. At least we are better protected here compared to Bagram. Huh? We'll see. The transition goes by smoothly. I replace the operation sergeant and get used to the battle rhythm. Hell, I even train to compete in a 10-mile march with ISAF forces, carrying one-third of my body weight in my rucksack. 6 weeks go by. I know the job. Walk outside the compound with a buddy who carries an M16 to schedule reservations and pay for flights at a local office. Yes, locals look at me like I'm an alien, because I am. Though my job title is Air Operations NCO, I feel more like a flight reservations attendant, except that I carry an M9 pistol and sometimes an M16. My other job consists of tracking all the civil affairs teams assigned to different villages and support them on their mission. After working 24/7 for 3 months, nonstop, my body alerts me. It finds a way to tell me, hey, you need a break. You don't have a fucking choice. I have mixed emotions. I am afraid. I don't understand my symptoms. This is not normal. It happens before lunchtime. Sitting at my desk, I feel dizzy, lightheaded, and my left arm tingles. Oh my God, am I going to pass out? Immediately, I ask the person closest to me, please take me to the clinic. I can't see. Everything looks blurry. I feel dizzy. I hold onto the sergeant's arm as he walks me to the clinic. The young nurse takes my vitals, followed by an EKG. Master Sergeant, you have to go to Bagram immediately. We'll find someone to take you. I don't have time to go to my room. I'm transported to Bagram. I arrive at the hospital. The doctor asks background information, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I've been working 24/7 the past 3 months. Though I fail to say, I have been rocking daily for the past 6 weeks. I'm not getting much rest, maybe 4 or 5 hours at most. We work minimum of 12-hour days, and the only time off is Sunday after 1,200 hours. Enough time to turn in or pick up my dirty laundry. After providing information to the doctor, he runs another EKG. He explains I have to be medevaced to Landstuhl. What? The only people who go there are really sick or injured. Oh my God, am I going to die? The doctor doesn't seem worried at all. He signs the paperwork to medevac me in less than 1 hour. It must be serious. This doctor is sending me away because something is terribly wrong with me. But what is it? He explains I have symptoms of a heart attack and I need to get further tests with equipment he doesn't have in Bagram. I cry. I feel so alone. I don't want to die away from my family. God, if I'm going to die, please let my parents bury me in Texas. I don't want to die here. A few hours later, I'm in a medevac plane with other people, laying down strapped to a gurney. A medic comes over, takes my vitals, and continues doing so for the length of the trip. we stopped in several places to pick up other injured soldiers. On the first stop, I believe we are in Landstuhl, but we're not. We proceed to pick up other soldiers and spend the night in a location that I do not remember. There, we pick up soldiers from Iraq. One of them has a head concussion, cannot walk unless held by somebody. Other soldiers are missing limbs. They have bandages around the remaining part of their leg or arm, covering the end of the missing body part. Others have most of their faces covered with bandages. That evening, I feel guilty. After 24 hours, my vitals have improved. Though physically I feel better, well enough to help others in the MASH unit, to walk, carry their tray, and return it afterwards, I also feel guilt-ridden. Why am I so lucky? I have not been injured like those guys. Why? Yes, I am medevaced due to symptoms of a heart attack, but I'm alive, without missing limbs. I feel really bad for those who are physically injured, unable to move out of their bed, and bandaged like mummies. On the final leg of my destination, feeling ridiculous because I'm still strapped to a gurney, unaware of any changes, I am dropped off at Rota Spain Naval Station Fleet Hospital. Oh my God, this is paradise. As much as I want to see Landstuhl, I am happier to be here. I can see the ocean, I can smell the ocean breeze. I don't even mind the humidity, which makes my hair go wild. To my surprise, the mobile medical unit in Rota is on the beach. It's a tent city, but better than Kabul or Bagram. There's no one trying to kill us. Why do I feel guilty? Certainly, I did not ask to be medevaced. It was an order. If the doctor sent me here, it must have been serious, even if I feel better now, right? I wake up in a tent with five other soldiers. A major, a master sergeant, a specialist, and two sergeants. Curious about the reasons for their being there, I discover they also work in operations. Three of them are from Iraq, one from Kuwait, and the other one from Afghanistan. We are briefed. You're not allowed to go off post, you have to remain in the base, and you're identified as a medical patient by the bracelet around your wrist. What? I want to go outside the base. Fuck, I don't have any CVs. I'll get caught if I go off base in my uniform. Shit. In a backpack donated by the Wounded Warrior Project, I find a pair of sweatpants, socks, a t-shirt, toothbrush, and other essentials. Good news is that we are allowed to wear the donated clothes while we're patients at the hospital. Oh my God, I'll be able to wear sweatpants? And I wouldn't be carrying a fucking weapon? My worst fear has always been to lose my military firearm. I still have nightmares about it. So this means we are prisoners inside the base. As much as I want to go sightseeing, I don't want to risk getting caught. Trust me, coming from me, this is serious. I like to live life in the moment and don't worry much about consequences unless there is a risk of going to jail. So I decide to make the best of my time in this naval station, Rota. I enjoy the beach every day for 9 days, and a pleasure no one can deny me, Spanish food. A local restaurant offers a variety of delicious Spanish dishes and wine. Okay, we're not allowed to drink alcohol, but there's no way anyone is going to stop me from tasting Spanish wine for the first time. I managed to get everyone in my wing to go to the Spanish restaurant, where we ate 3 times during our medical stay. The first time, I took the freedom to order forbidden fruit. Whispering, I say to the nice waiter, "Excuse me, sir, could you please serve us a glass of wine in a child's cup? We're not allowed to drink because we're medevaced from a combat zone, but we really want to taste your Spanish wine. I hear it's the best." As far as I'm concerned, I'm able to make the waiter feel sorry for us. Come on, we're medevaced patients from Iraq and Afghanistan, and God knows how badly injured we are under our sweatpants. Yes, they are baggy, I speak Spanish to the waiter so the group doesn't understand anything I say. Waiter returns with baby cups. They are cute. They have some type of colorful child drawings, a lid, and a straw. What else could I ask for? I am overjoyed. Okay, guys, let's toast. For our friendship, for an unforgettable time, and for being here with you all. Salud. What? Wait a minute, Master Sergeant. We're going to get in trouble. Only if you say something about it. But I doubt you live to tell that story. The young female specialist, the only other female besides me, is not as concerned as she wants to appear. Neither are the others. They have big smiles of approval on their faces. Salud, Master Sergeant. As a group, we go everywhere together. We walk to the beach every day. I purchase a pair of shorts at the base exchange and a tank top to wear at the beach. I walk barefoot on the sand, soak in the ocean water, and I don't even mind the sand penetrating every pore in my body. A few days later, we all have several medical tests, EKG, stress test, etc. One by one, we return to our respective locations, promising we'll stay in touch forever. The results of my stress test return abnormal, but according to the doctor, it's common. There is nothing to worry about. When I return to Afghanistan, I find out my assignment is now in Bagram. If it is supposed to be punishment, they're wrong. I prefer it to Kabul. I settle in my GP Medium tent, my new home, for 10 more months. I feel free compared to Kabul, where the only space I had to walk was Alligator Alley. I imagine that the butterfly palpitations I feel sometimes are due to stress. I decide to take better care of myself. I sleep 5 hours per day. Of course, unless an emergency or incoming rockets wakes me up. Some of my co-workers and superiors gossip. Master Sergeant Richardson faked her illness. That fucking pisses me off. I want to punch them on the face, tell them how wrong they are. No, I have to calm down. Okay, Rosie, remember, you do not want to get sick again. As much as I enjoy the R&R in Rota, I don't want to run the risk of a heart attack due to stress. I learned to let it slide. Regardless of the rumors I hear, I focus on my job and nothing else. I know the truth. I choose to think they are jealous because I spent 9 wonderful days in Rota. I do not allow their comments to bother me. Instead, when I begin to feel overwhelmed, I recreate a positive mental image from my experience. Breathe in, breathe out, feel the ocean breeze. Feel the sand on your feet as you walk on the beach. Feel the sun caressing your bare skin. I laugh. I'm wearing ranger shorts with a black tank top. The seawater heals my body, and the ocean breeze gives me strength to finish the rest of my tour.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Voices from the Mighty Pen, produced by Virginia Voice in partnership with the Virginia War Memorial Foundation's Mighty Pen Project. For more information on the Mighty Pen Project, visit vawarmemorial.org/learn. This is Teresa Ray for Virginia Voice.